Hi, I'm Susie Larson. Thanks so much for listening to this podcast from Live the Promise. There are many more podcasts available up on the website at myfaithradio.com, and your support makes this possible. Thank you. Much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise. And we are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. So glad you tuned in, and a very happy Tuesday to you. Well, I ask you a pretty thought-provoking question every day at the outset of the show, and here's another one for you. Are you ready? Do you think that you live with a measure of shame? Do you notice any shame kind of embedded in your soul and your perspective? Would you know it if it surfaced in your life? You know, many of us allow shame to bully us, to chase us, and even stop us in our tracks. But here's the thing. Shame skews our perspective, it cripples our faith, and it keeps us from seeing ourselves for who we really are in Christ Jesus. I'm so honored and blessed to have Christine Kane back on the program with me today. We're going to celebrate her new book, Unashamed, and talk about what it means to drop emotional baggage, release the shame so we can step in to the powerful call of God on our lives. I only have Christine for the first half hour of the first hour of the show today, so for the first 30 minutes of hour one of Live the Promise. And I'm not taking any calls because I want to give Christine as much time as possible. That second half hour, I will take your calls, and we'll just talk about maybe lies that you picked up when life let you down, and how to navigate to that place of truth, to embrace the beautiful truth about you. In second hour, you'll hear my conversation with Todd Nettleton, a voice of the martyrs, as we talk about stories from the persecuted church, what we can learn from them. I'm telling you what, their faith will challenge and inspire you. Well, here's a quote from Christine Kane's new book, Unashamed. God created you for a unique purpose. He has a specific plan for your life, and he has a powerful destiny he wants you to fulfill. And guess what? Shame has no place in that purpose, plan, and destiny. Let me tell you about my guest. We'll get her on the show. As the founder of the A21 campaign, Christine Kane leads one of the largest nonprofit organizations in the world dedicated to rescuing victims of human trafficking in 12 countries. Christine also shares messages of hope, encouragement, and freedom in churches across the globe and frequently addresses leaders of some of the world's largest organizations. She and her husband, Nick, spend their time in Sydney, Australia, and the U.S., and they adore their daughters, Katie and Sophie. You can find her influencer page up on our website at myfaithradio.com. Dear Christine, welcome back to the program.
Susie, it's my honor to be back. Thank you.
So glad to celebrate this book. And, you know, I posted on my personal page a quote from the book. I just said, this is so good. And a friend texted me and she said, I'm reading it right now. I love it. So well done. Well done. Well, dear, we love to start out our conversations talking scripture. And I'm just wondering if there's a passage you've been thinking about these days that you can share with us.
Well, yeah, there's so many, and I guess in light of it, the one passage that has been on my mind, and obviously a lot of this has got to do with the fact that I wrote a book on it, is that passage in, or the scripture, the one verse in Genesis 2:25, where it says, "Adam and Eve were naked, and they were unashamed; they knew no shame." And I've been probably mulling that over during the whole writing of the book, but since the book's come out in the last few weeks. Even more so because what has happened is I have just found so many people have been so gripped by so many different forms of shame, I think more than even I thought was possible. And I keep going back to the Lord going, it's so interesting that just before the fall, the last thing you wanted us to know about how you made us was that we would feel unashamed and we would know no shame. And I think that to me is deeply personal, and it just reflects that God wants us to be vulnerable, to be who we really are at our core, and that he created us not to be bound and shackled by feelings of unworthiness. And so I've got to admit, there hasn't been a day that I haven't been meditating on that scripture.
So powerful. I speak at conferences myself, and one of the things that motivates me and compels me to get out of bed every day for this radio show and for the outside ministry that I do is that just the reality that there are many, many Christians who are going to live and die and realize, you know, I was saved, but I wasn't free. And I'm sure you're seeing this too, Christine, in your travels around the world on such a greater scale. How often do you believe, I want to phrase this a better way. If you were to guesstimate a percentage of Christians who walk the earth, how many would you say live saved but not free?
I would say a huge percentage. And I think, you know, of course, none of us truly know, but I think if we go back to the story of the children of Israel, we will actually, I think proportionally it's the same, you know, that the Lord delivered an entire generation out of Egyptian slavery, but they didn't walk in freedom in Canaan. And I think that for many of us, it's exactly the same, that we live delivered but not free, like we've come out of the bondage of sin, the bondage of our past, but we settle for a wilderness existence when the Lord has, you know, today in the New Testament, obviously it's a spiritual promised land, but he has this fruitful promised land of Canaan for us, but many, many die in the wilderness. Well, in that case, you know, only Joshua and Caleb of that original generation went into the promised land. And to be honest, I don't know that it's significantly different today, that there are so many that settle for deliverance but not freedom.
And it's amazing how God, in his gentle, loving way, bids us to come, invites us deeper, sets the plow deeper just to expose some of the lies so he can set us free. And I noticed this in your story. I've noticed it in my story as well, that when we don't know who we are, we'll take our gifts and talents that God entrusts us to use to bless the world, to move his purposes forward, and we'll misuse them to dig ourselves out of a hole. And again, I think that's extremely common. What did you learn? Because you had natural leadership ability that showed up in, I don't know, second grade. But what did you learn about your leadership gifts and then how God started to invite you to steward those for his name's sake and not to rescue your sense of self-worth because he started to teach you who you really were?
Well, I think that's, you know, I mean, right from in my second grade, my teacher, Mrs. Black, you know, told me I should hide my leadership gifts. And I think in many cases, the world does that to us. It says, minimize yourself. Don't be fully who you are in so many ways, which is the antithesis of the gospel, where Jesus died so that we can become all that he created us to become and do all he created us to do. But it is a journey to go from, you know, kind of being beaten down in many cases by the world or by your past or by the comments of people around you or the challenges of social media or the internet, to actually have the courage to step up and into what God has called you to do. I think there's little wonder that the Lord said to Joshua and Caleb, only be strong and very courageous, because I think at the threshold of every transition, when God calls us up to utilize our spiritual gifts at a new level, to be more fruitful in our lives, I think at the same time, the enemy loves to send a spirit of fear, shame, condemnation, to make us fearful of stepping into the fullness of what God has. And I have found that at every level, God has required me to be courageous, to be strong, and that I've had to seek obedience to God above the need for the approval of man. Mm. It has been a great challenge, but very fruitful and worthwhile.
Wow. This line from your book, shame prompts us to toss away the good gifts we are given. Can you give us a few more just indicators that shame is present in our life? What is some of the fruit or some of the symptoms, maybe is a better word, that shame is still under the surface for us?
Sure. I think it's like anywhere that you feel unworthy and you feel a need to prove yourself outside of who you are in Christ. So I think you can see shame is a big driver, even for the most successful people in some cases, that perhaps they're trying to pursue their sense of identity through, you know, the next promotion, the next pay rise, the next accolade, the next achievement. I mean, you're on this endless treadmill, and the root of it is this sense of unworthiness, that if I just get the next big thing, then I'm worth something. Then I'll be able to prove to my father who said that I'll never amount to anything, or to that teacher that said I was useless, or to that parent that said I wish you were never born. I mean, somewhere we have this shame was heaped on us, either by an ex-lover, perhaps an ex-spouse, a teacher, a parent, or somebody, and that we are still trying to prove something to somebody, so that we can feel that we're worthy or we're valuable. And Jesus says, look, I'm enough for you. And if you understand your identity in me, that alone is enough. I'll be able to do incredible things through you, but I can't do things through a pretend version of you or who you're pretending to be. I need you to be who I created you to be. And I think part of that discovery, it's not easy. I think everybody struggles with a sense of, you know, before you feet hit the floor in the morning, you're kind of thinking, oh no, I've got so much to do, and we feel that, you know, I'm not smart enough, I'm not talented enough, I'm not gifted enough, I'm not pretty enough, I'm not thin enough, I'm not, you know, rich enough. Or by the time you go to bed at night, it's, oh, I didn't do enough. I wasn't the mother I could be. I wasn't the wife I could be. I wasn't the daughter I could be. I wasn't everything I could be. We never feel like it's enough or we're enough. And that bottom sense of unworthiness, I think, is what the underlying sort of shame really is.
And it's amazing, because in our striving, because God is so good, there at times you'll see portions of fruit, because there's probably striving mixed with faith. But when you get to that place where you see striving and you know that He is God, and you enter into kind of a rest where your resting place is the abiding place, then fruit starts to happen. I mean, truly, it's disproportionate to our efforts, because it's about the life of Christ in and through us. Isn't that phenomenon just supernatural? Go ahead.
Sorry, yeah, that is, and that's the goal, really, because the only time we're really told to labor is to labor to enter into that place of rest. And from that place of rest, we can be incredibly fruitful. And much of the labor of the Christian faith is to get to that place of just abiding and resting in the Lord. And that doesn't mean being inactive. It's actually quite an active thing to try to get to that place of rest. But you get there, it's an internal condition, not an external action. And so, you only really get there when you finally have that revelation that I am a son or a daughter of the King. My value is not expressed in what I've done, but it's in what Jesus has done for me, and that I am inherently valuable because God so loved me that He sent His only begotten Son to die for me. You know, it sounds theologically simplistic, it sounds easy, but often it's a lifetime journey to get there.
Indeed, indeed. We're taking a quick short break. Talking to Christine Kane today, title of her new amazing book, Unashamed. Listen to the subtitle, Drop the Baggage, Pick Up Your Freedom, Fulfill Your Destiny. Boy, I love that. So I'm not taking calls, but we'll take emails. You want your name to get in on a drawing for Christine's new book, email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Susie@myfaithradio.com. Put Unashamed in the subject line. Include your mailing address. Your name will go in a drawing. Two of you will win a copy of this great book. More with Christine Kane when we return. Tuning in today, I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. We're talking about shame and being unashamed. So glad to be talking to Christine Kane. Title of her brand new book is Unashamed. Subtitle, Drop the Baggage, Pick Up Your Freedom, Fulfill Your Destiny. Love this. And we're not taking calls because we only have Christine for this first half hour, but you can email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Put Unashamed in the subject line. Give me your mailing address. Your name will go on a drawing. Love this, Christine. You say that shame's power not only can be broken, it actually has been broken. Talk about the power of what Jesus did on the cross and how that impacts our freedom.
I think that's powerful, Susie. I'm glad you brought that up, because the truth is that Jesus, you know, I think I write in the book, He shamed shame on the cross. And so we were not created to bear the weight of shame. And Jesus carried it for us. And therefore, I think we have to understand that when we're fighting against shame, we are fighting from a place of victory that Jesus has already attained. So oftentimes, I'm fighting for victory. Well, we've already got it in Christ. So what we have to do is understand that we can walk shame-free. I think a lot of people think, you know, I have to carry this for the rest of my life, whether it's the shame that you've carried because of something that you've done of your own volition. Or in my case, in my younger years, it was because I was sexually abused. You know, when you first begin to be abused, you think what is happening to you is wrong. But when it continues to happen for a long time and nobody stops it, you start to think and believe the lie that there's something wrong with you. That's why it's happening. So I spent most of my life just always with this just this tape recorder that kept saying, there's something wrong with me, there's something wrong with me. That's why I keep doing wrong things. That's why bad things happen, because there's something wrong with me. Then when I got a revelation from Isaiah 53 that Jesus died for my sins, for my iniquities, for my sickness, and for shame, it was like, I don't need to carry this any longer. Once you realize that Jesus has shame, then you go, you know what? Part of the promise that he has for me is that I can walk a shame-free life. For many of us, we don't understand the difference between guilt and shame. And so we have confused, I call guilt our do and shame our who. So we have confused our who and our do. And so we think we've defined ourselves by something perhaps that we've done wrong or something that has been done wrong to us. But you are not what you have done, and you are not what has been done to you. You are who Jesus says you are in his word. And so once you can separate your who and your do, then you're in a place to make what Jesus has done for you on the cross bigger than what anybody has done to you or said about you or what you have done to yourself. And so I think that is where liberty begins to change. You know, you start to believe the right things, then you start to live the right life and you can walk in the right freedom. The problem with the children of Israel is they didn't believe the right things. The Lord had miraculously brought them out of Egypt, but they still did not believe that the same God that brought them out is the same God that could take them in. And I think when we talk about the difference between deliverance and freedom, we don't sometimes think that the same God that set us free from sin is the same God that can set us free from shame. And I think that's what we need to do and not confuse our who and our do, and we can walk in freedom.
You know, as a former fitness person, I'm so interested in some of the physical, spiritual parallels. And I believe shame has muscle memory in us where the muscle, you know, it's like we can get back there. We can feel like I just went around this mountain. I've been walking in a freedom. And then something reminiscent happens and it feels like it sends us back to that place. And one of the ways that I've combated that I love that you wrote about is just talking back to that enemy, drawing a line in the sand, talking to your soul and saying, this is what's true. Even if that's what feels true, I want you to just talk, if you would, Christine, about some of the tangible ways you've put your foot down and said, enough already. I'm not putting up with this.
Yeah, and Susie, I want to highlight that I have to do this daily.
Yeah.
This is not a once-only thing. And the power, and I really say this, and I hope people don't just skim over those pages thinking, yeah, I know this. But there's a difference between knowing it and doing it, and that's why people are not free. The only difference between me and a lot of people that are still bound is that I just choose to do it. And that means that, you know, I get up and I write out the promises of God. And when the lie of the enemy, because the devil is a liar, but he's just very loud and he screams loud. And eventually, if you don't know how to counteract the lies of the enemy with the truth of the word of God, then you're just going to believe the lie, which is what Eve did in the fall in Genesis chapter 3. The serpent said to her, did God really say? Well, if you are not sure what God really said, you're going to believe what the enemy says. And so what I've done is learned to write what Jesus has said about me, who I am in Christ. I put it on sticky notes. Even to this day, you would see me regularly writing down different promises and out loud declaring them over my life. And I mean, sometimes I think what people must think, I could be going down a train of thought. And when I arrest that thought because I realize this is not what God says about me, it might be what I'm saying about myself. It might be what someone else has said to me. It might be something I feel about myself. I have to out loud say, Christine, that's a lie. And then I will get out the truth of the word of God. And I'll say, no, that's not who you are, Christine. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You are a daughter of the King. You are the head and not. And I mean, I will literally say those scriptures out loud until I get that into my thinking rather than the negative shame-filled thoughts that I was thinking.
So good. Nighttime for many years as an adult, that's when I would have nightmares about some of the things that I walked through as a kid at the hands of teenage boys. And something that sounds so silly, but it has helped me. I start to go through the alphabet of all the things that I am in Christ, that I'm anointed, appointed, accepted, I'm blessed, beloved, and bold. And to walk through, so as I'm falling asleep, reminding my soul who I am because of Jesus, who Jesus is. It is amazing. This is something we have to contend for. And I think keep up with, like you say, the victory's been won, but that enemy is going to camp on the assumption that we are forgetters. We're grace forgetters. We forget who we are, right?
That's exactly right. And I think we all have an Achilles heel, and you just have to be aware. It doesn't need to take you out. You just have to be aware of it. And shame and rejection is mine. And so I am just acutely aware of it. I have to be mindful. This is a fight of faith. The enemy is after our faith. And so Paul tells us to fight the good fight of faith. And until the day I die, I'm going to be fighting that fight of faith. Now, some of the things that used to take me out don't take me out now. But if I am not vigilant, they could take me out a year from now.
You know, we just got a few minutes left with you, Christine, and I just want to say, when people read your book and they're going to hear your read your backstory of all that you've had to overcome to stand where you stand now. But I look at you and say, you know what? You've turned the table on the enemy. You've really made him sorry he messed with you, because now you're an advocate for millions and millions who also need an advocate. But that is, to me, a word picture of what God wants for all of us, to take the worst thing ever done to us or worst thing we've ever done, turn it around, turn that enemy around on his heels, and then become freedom fighters for others. Because we really can't even love people, let alone fight for their freedom, if we don't understand what we possess in Christ ourselves, right?
Absolutely. And I think that is the very big key. And that's true redemption. Not only that Jesus has delivered and freed me, but that I can turn around and open the prison doors for those that are still bound in whatever area. And I think, you know, Susie, every time we put a trafficker in jail, every time a child or a woman is rescued out of sex trafficking or forced labor trafficking, I just think, boy, I bet the devil wishes that he left me alone, because I feel like Joseph in Genesis chapter 50, verse 20, where he said to his brothers, "You meant this for evil against me, but God meant it for this very purpose, to save many people alive." And I feel that what the enemy meant for evil, God turned it around and he worked it together for good. And, you know, I wrote a chapter in my book that God never wastes a hurt, because he really does it. You can, even the most painful, broken places of our past, Jesus is able to redeem them and then use them for our good and for his glory. And I think that is, to me, the greatest satisfaction this side of eternity, is that God is using my past to help give other people a future.
I'm so grateful that you're a fighter. We've got about a minute and a half left. Wondering if you have any advice for that listener today, Christine, who is realizing as they're listening to you that they are wrapped up in shame, and that most of their efforts, even their gifts, go to rescuing their sense of self-worth and not responding to God's love.
Yeah, I think that I would be immersing myself, a couple of things, obviously, in the Word of God. I would find a really, really good friend or counselor or someone that can walk through the process. Don't deny the process. You know, when I snapped my ACL and tore my meniscus and MCL and fractured my knee in a ski accident, I had a hamstring graft. And I remember I woke up from surgery. The first person I saw was the PT. He came into my hospital recovery room and he said to me, "Christine, you know, you've done the biggest injury that anyone could do to their knee." He said, "Most people, because of the type of injury that you have, most people do not fully recover, not because they can't, but because they won't." He said, "Christine, your right knee is technically now much stronger than your left knee because of the hamstring graft. The only problem is you can't bend your knee right now because you've just had the surgery, and it's going to be a process to get your bend back in your knee." Most athletes and most people don't fully come back, not because they can't, but because they won't. And he said this to me. He said, "The degree to which you are willing to embrace the pain of recovery is the degree to which you will recover. You can recover partially or totally. You can recover quickly or slowly. It all depends on your willingness to embrace the pain. There will be pain, but on the other side of the pain is complete healing if you would embrace the pain of recovery." And I think in the same way that we have to understand that sometimes the pain of recovery is greater than the pain of the injury. The abuse happened in an instant, but the pain that it caused lasted me decades. Then the recovery that needed to happen lasted quite a long time. I think...
Back in a moment. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. I had the honor of talking to Christine Kane for that first half hour. Title of her new book is Unashamed: Drop the Baggage, Pick Up Your Freedom, Fulfill Your Destiny. You know this, if you listen often enough, this kind of language just stirs up my faith, because everything that I have, I've had to contend for. Jesus purchased it, paid for it, offered it, but I've had to contend for it because I've been the poster child for insecurity and fear. And you know the passage, it says, "He chooses the foolish things of the world to shame the wise, the weak to shame the strong, the things that are not to nullify the things that are." I was the weak, foolish, not. And it's, but God loves to do this. He loves to roll up his sleeves, pull us out of the ashes of our pain, put a new song in our heart, heal our souls, make us whole, and then send us out to become freedom fighters and rescuers for other people who so desperately need our influence. And yet, I've told you this, one of the things that gets me out of bed every day is the passion to see you and I continue to press in hard, walk with God, give him access to our story so that we can be set free and then we can turn around and be an influence for others who so desperately need the help that God has offered us. And nobody can reach your sphere of influence quite like you. Even so, I mean, I'm just reading through this book and I'm like, oh, I still have areas. I can tell by reading this, I still have areas that are captive and shame bound. And I just prayed afresh, God, set me free, because we can't love to the degree that we're held captive. And to the depths that we enjoy freedom will be the depths that we enjoy love, and our capacity to love others and be kind to others and to be others focused is directly correlated to our personal freedom. So this is a bold question, and I'll just see if you're going to leave me sitting here all by myself. Hey, no manipulation here at all. But I want to know if you dare to call me, and you can be anonymous. But talk about the lie that you picked up when life lets you down. And do you notice any evidences of shame? And I do think it shows up in our striving and our straining and a rejection tendency. If someone brings correction to you, do you suddenly fall into a heap because you feel worthless? Or maybe if they bring correction, you point to other people, because that's a different kind of a shame that you can't even bear to let it in. Or maybe you just use your gifts all the time to strive and strain to prove yourself, constantly trying to prove yourself out of a lie. You can call anonymously. I'd love to hear from you. 877-933-2484. 877-93-FAITH. Or you can email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. I've got a stack of books I brought into the studio just to, I'll see if I can find one that matches what your situation is today. And as you email me, if you want to be in on the drawing for Christine Kane's book, put Unashamed in the subject line. Give me your mailing address. But if you've got a comment question, I'd love for you to include it as well. Here's one of the quotes from Christine's book, Unashamed. There's a place of divine tension between where we've been set free from shame and are flourishing, and where we still are being need freedom from shame and harboring it inside. While God sees this transition zone of simultaneously living in freedom and still dealing with unresolved issues as perfectly normal, something he wants us to embrace, we often wrestle with it emotionally. So do you hear that? Where God sees our process of going from strength to strength, glory to glory, he sees this as completely normal. He's set us free, he's redeemed our soul, and he knows that we have tangled up knots in our soul that he intends to entangle. You hear me say this if you listen often enough. As Christians, we get to be a work in progress without the condemnation. So this is something he wants us to embrace. But as Christine Kane says, we often wrestle with it emotionally. And then she further writes, we feel condemned and confused and try to cover up those vulnerable feelings and broken places with a multitude of shame-filled responses. But they're all poisonous toxins pumping through our veins. When shame has been pumping through our heart over time, the heart itself grows toxic. When we are wounded, we leak toxic waste, and that waste poisons us and the people around us, even when we are completely unaware of it. And you know what? What's really tricky is when you have leaders who are shame-based because they're striving in impossible standards, make it feel impossible for everybody else to live up to them. And so you do have a sphere of influence. And I would just dare you to ask God, are there ways that my shame skews perspective of others, from seeing Jesus for who he is? Are there blind spots in my character because I'm racked with shame that are keeping people from seeing an honest and holy view of who you are? You know, this is so important because we sin out of the places of our shame. We hide because of our shame. We overstrive and overcompensate. But imagine being free in that area where you once were captive. Imagine being at rest with who you are, and being at peace with who you are, and trusting that God will get you safely home. Imagine it. 877-933-2484. Debbie's checking in. Hey, Debbie, how are you today?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing well as well. You want to comment or chime into the conversation?
Yeah, well, I just want to say that it's a very good topic, and I think it's a good topic for a lot of people. A lot of people that don't even realize it or understand it. I'm a little bit more in my mature years, close to 60 here, and I know that, and I don't say this to criticize my own parents. They did the best they could. They did what they knew. But I know I was raised in a shame-based home, and as such, I grew up as a shame-based adult, young adult, and I think I passed a lot of that on to my own children because I was a young parent. And now that I'm older, I believe that I have learned a lot
Oops, I think I lost Debbie. I love this, what I'm hear, where I hear her going, that she's not pointing at her maybe upbringing as a reason to stay captive, just as an as information as to why maybe she thinks the way she thinks or sees life the way she sees it. And then from there, she I could tell that she's taking God's word as it stands, and she's learning to walk out a new heritage and a new place of freedom. And in Christine's book, Unashamed, she has a header that says talk back. And she says, when the lies come, the ones you believed about yourself, whether they're fat, ugly, stupid, worthless, fundamentally flawed, failure, dumb, incapable, inadequate, take those thoughts captive. When someone is taken captive, he or she is still alive, but held in confinement, contained and under control. Sometimes our thoughts will not die, but we can control them and take them captive. We have the power to intentionally quit thinking them and think new thoughts based on God's truth. So talk back. So talk to yourself, she says. Encourage yourself. Build yourself up. Tell yourself the opposite of all the lies that you're hearing. I'm smart. I can do this. I'm strong. So when the past screams, you are hopeless, you are useless, you're not good enough, you'll never measure up, tell yourself the truth from God's word. I'm alive in Christ. I'm a new creature. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world. It is not I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Isn't that powerful, that Galatians 2:20? I am greatly loved by God. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I am his workmanship created in Christ for good works, and I am more than a conqueror. I want you to hear a song by Bethel Music called No Longer Slaves. And I want you, if you're driving, I want you to pray along with this song. If you're in your home, I want you to try to stop what you're doing and just rest in these words and put a flag in the ground, in fact, to just make that declaration, whether it feels true or not, that I'm not a slave anymore. Even if I feel like one, even if I'm prone to wander into these thoughts of captivity, I'm not a slave because Jesus says I'm not. Let's listen in.
You unravel me with a melody. You surround me with a song of deliverance from my enemies till all my fears have come. Songs of deliverance.
pause and take a break. Love to hear from you. Email me, Suzy@myfaithradio.com. I'll give you a call, 877-933-2484. Talking about shame, what has God taught you about who you are in spite of the messages that have come your way? We'll be back in a minute. Thanks for tuning in today. I'm Suzy Larson. This is Live the Promise. And you know, this show is 6 years old. Wow. I guest hosted for 4 years prior to the show, and God was putting this dream in my heart for this show. I had the name right away, Live the Promise. And my passion and my desire was to see you and to see me contend for the things that God has promised us. You know, Scripture says that He's given us His Spirit so that we can discern the things He's freely given us. And don't you know that when we don't discern what He's freely given us, we drink from muddy puddles, you know? We drink from broken cisterns that cannot satisfy. We mess around with earthly things when there's a feast and a banquet that God has set for us, even in the presence of our enemy. So one of the passions I have around the promise is that you and I would continually, daily hear from leaders and get in the Word ourselves to the point where we say, you know what, these promises are mine. And if there's a disconnect between my problem and God's promise, I'm going to fight for it. I'm going to lay hold of it. I'm going to walk it out in faith. You know, we say we're believers, and so often we relegate that term to, I know where I'm going when I die. But if we're really believers, we got to believe this stuff, right? We got to believe the truth of God's word. We got to contend for these promises and then walk them out. And I got to tell you, most of the fruit that has come out of my life is learning to stop my striving, to rest in the Lord, but then to fight for the promises that He's provided for me. And Christine Kane joined me the first half hour of today's first hour of the show. That's kind of a mouthful, but I'll leave it alone. Here's what she writes from her book, Unashamed. God created you for a unique purpose. He has a specific plan for your life, and He has a powerful destiny. He wants you I'm talking to, He wants you to fulfill. And guess what? Shame has no place in that purpose, plan, and destiny. There is no place in your story for shame. And yet we live with this low level of misery, this nagging sense of not enoughness, of rejection, of inferiority. We live with it. She further writes, I've learned that in order to get unhooked from the pain of my past, I have to continuously choose to change my perspective. I need to look at things through God's eyes, through the resurrection power of Jesus. He bore my shame, so His perspective is much different than mine. He is fighting for me from a place of victory, so that I might look at my future through the resurrection lens instead of the shame lens. I'd love to know, just as you've listened over time, and just as we've connected with each other on a regular basis, how have you changed? I'm not saying through Live the Promise, but just as we've done this journey together now, when you look back over the last months, the last year, the last couple of years, what's different about how you walk, how you talk, how you pray, what you believe to be true about your life and your circumstances? How has your faith grown? I would love to know. How have you changed? I've got just about 8 minutes left. Still got a few books I'd love to get into your hands. 877-933-2484, 877-933-2484. One of the things that Christine says in her book, Unashamed, is that you cannot possess promises from a God that you do not trust. Think about that. You can't possess the promises of a God that you don't trust. And if you've been hurt, if you've been abused, if you've been beat up, if you've been rejected, it is hard to trust. And these are some things that she learned as she walked through some of those things in her childhood. She wrote, learning to trust, it takes experience. Lots of experience. Learning to trust takes repetition. Learning to trust takes failing. Learning to trust takes challenges, trials, and tests. Learning to trust takes risking, following God in the face of our fear. Learning to trust takes time. Lots and lots of it. Trust has to grow. And in my observation, Christine Kane writes, and personal experience, for those who struggled with shame, trust grows slowly. But here's the great news. I love this. God knows how to grow trust. He knows how to plant it. He knows how to nourish it, how to repair it when it's been broken, and how to restore it when it's been lost. God is in the trust-growing business. Do you know what He uses to grow our trust? He uses the very tool that the enemy uses to try to stop us. He uses our fear. Fear exposes the limits of our present capacity, but not our potential capacity. You want to hear that again? Fear exposes the limits of our present capacity, but not our potential capacity. And what happens when we're afraid? We medicate, we numb our pain. But if we could pause and say, okay, I've come to the edges of myself, God, this means there's more of you to experience, more of you to encounter. If we could face down our fears and look up and say, God, you're greater than my fears. Show me your kingdom here. We will see an enlarged capacity. And as Christine even said during the interview, and it's been my experience too, when God is about to do a new thing, the devil does bring up an old thing. You know what? He always wants you looking back when you need to be looking up. He'll bring up new levels of insecurity. He'll stir up fear. He'll poke at you to try to get you to look back over your shoulder and shame so that you're not looking ahead in faith. Well, we've got some calls coming in, but I just want for a couple of minutes to play Meredith Andrews' song, Hands That Are Holding Me, because this song so reflects the passage about our light and momentary troubles. And they don't always feel light or momentary, but they are, because that's what Scripture says. They're producing in us a glory that far outweighs them all. God's hand is holding us. We're holding Him. Our eyes will one day see the glory of the Lord. Let's listen in.
In the silence, in the waiting, with the promise in the making, I will cling to what I know is true. In the sorrow, in the struggle, when my heart is torn and troubled, I will cling to what I know is true. I've seen the glimpses, I've heard the whispers of all that is to come. My eyes will see the glory. In the shadows, when my fears tempt me to follow, I will cling to what I know is true. I've seen the glimpses, I've heard the whispers of all.
Take one quick call. Carol's checking in. Hey, Carol, how are you today? Carol, you there? I think we lost her. She said she's come out of fear as she's walked with her sister. I want you to think about this. You hear the song underneath me. Our eyes will see the glory of the Lord. One day He will wipe away every tear from our eye. But even now, friends, as we look to Him, we're radiant because our faces are never covered with shame. If you feel that you're just immersed and saturated in shame, get into God's presence and look up and ponder, spend some time pondering His affection for you and His love for you. because he sings over you. And when you look to him in due time, you will sense his radiance, and your face will no longer be covered with shame. And guess what? People who knew you when, they'll see you now and think, there has to be a God in heaven. I knew her when, and look at her now. She's got a countenance of peace and joy, and they'll want to know Jesus for themselves. Let's pray. Father, thank you for what you did for us on that cross, that you made a public spectacle of the powers that oppose us. Father, help us understand this. Help us believe it's true, because it is true. Forgive us, God, for coddling our fears more than we cling to the promises of God. But I pray for every single person listening today, myself included. Bring us to a new level of freedom. Show us our capacity for shame and how it trips us up. Show it to us, Lord, and then show us your truth that sets us free, so that we can connect a week from now, months from now, a year from now, and say, remember, now I'm different. Now when those things come at me, I don't respond the same way. My instinct is different because you, God, you set us free. Lord, we are desperate for you. We need you in this day so that we can stand sturdy on your promises while so much of the world is being shaken. We want to wear that countenance of joy, of radiance, so people would ask us about the hope that is within us. But we all have broken hearts and hard parts of our story. But you're the Redeemer. So would you redeem and restore and refresh and heal every single person listening today? Help us to walk in a manner worthy of your name. In Jesus' name, amen. Can't even tell you how honored I am to join you every single day. Thank you so much. You've been listening to Live the Promise. I'm Suzy Larson. In just a bit, you'll find the podcast on our website at myfaithradio.com. Coming up next, you'll hear my conversation with Todd Nettleton of Voice of the Martyrs. We're going to be inspired and challenged by stories from our persecuted brothers and sisters. Let us not forget about them, because Jesus tells us not to. Remember this too. The Lord wants you to last long and finish strong. He's the one who keeps you strong to the end. Have a great day.